Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Second Timothy chapter 3 this morning. What a fitting psalm for our message again this morning. The message this morning, religious but rebellious. Religious but rebellious. Last week, we looked at the days of Noah. The days of Noah, we painted the picture as we looked there in Genesis. It painted the picture there of the world and what we compared it to the days. And we even said the days of Noah would have been worse even than our day because we understand the demons were, and some of that was put away and won't be released to the tribulation period in those times coming, but we are living in those days and we relate it to this world and what is happening in our world today. And then this morning, we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3 and it deals more with the personal. It goes hand in hand, but we're going to go with the personal. I want us to look at this thought this morning because as Paul wanted Timothy to get a hold of this, I believe the Lord wants us to see some truths this morning. Paul wanted young Timothy to get a hold of this and see some important things in this portion of Scripture. He wanted him to see, okay, this is what to expect, but this is what's going to happen to the church. This is what's going to happen to the believers. This is what's going to happen to the individuals. During these times, this is what's going to take place. And that's why I believe it moves from just the world. We're going to hit a little bit of the world as we look through this. But the main application this morning is going to have to do with us as individuals and in our lives. And to see, are we religious but rebellious this morning? If you're able to, please stand with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 7. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses, and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we ask as we look at this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you would help each of us to examine and to look at ourselves and to see what you want us to get this morning. And Lord, that you would help us to make sure that we are right with you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to Acts chapter 20. And I want to read verses 29 through verse 30. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Paul warns him, Timothy, of perilous times. Perilous times has to do with grievous or desperate times. He's warning them of this time that's going to come where there's going to be wolves in sheep clothing, taking those away and teaching a false doctrine, a false gospel, and try to turn them away from the truth. There's a time coming where people are going to have, and we can look at other portions of scriptures where they're going to want their ears tickled, and all that happens and all takes place, and we're going to play this all into this role of these verses here as we see what is happening and what is going on and what is being warned of. But the idea is this perilous times, this desperate times, this grievous times that's going to be coming in the last days. Now, these last days are talking about the times leading up to what we refer to as the tribulation, and beyond that time, it's leading up. These are the last days leading up to this time, up to the period of time coming towards the end of this world. It's leading up to this. This is what's going to take place leading up. This is why I believe we are living in some of the last days here on this earth, is because we are taking the steps, and you're seeing the picture, and even the song goes hand in hand with it this morning. We're seeing the pictures and seeing what is leading up, heading towards the end that's going to come. Now, the ultimate last days we know are the days when the Lord comes back. We'll understand the battle of Armageddon and all that takes place and all that happens. But these are the days leading up to this time and up to this time and all the way through this time into the tribulation period, into all the events that take place. There are going to be grievous things that are happening in our world that is taking place. But as I said, I believe it goes a step further. It is not just the grievous things, the desperate things that are happening in our world. It is what is going to take place and what is happening in the church and in individual believers' lives. I believe what is happening, we saw as we looked at days of Noah, the wickedness and all that took place, but I believe it's going to go further. And I believe we are living in the days where it's not just affecting the church. It is affecting individuals today that make up the church. It's not just a building. We understand it's the people. We understand what's happening. What is leading up? It's not just in the world. It's right here at home with you and with me. And as we look at this, we see this unfold and this comes together here. Look with me in verse number 2. Religious but rebellious. How do we know if we're just religious but rebellious? How do we know if we're struggling in our Christian life of how we should be? Verse 2 starts to paint the picture. And the first thought I want us to look at this morning is, what do I love? What do I love? And I want each of us to ask ourselves that question this morning. What do you love? Now we're going to paint this, and there's a lot covered in these next verses. We're going to highlight as quickly as we can each of these areas. And the whole idea of this area is for us to self-examine and to see, okay, what do we love? What do I love more than God? What do I put before my God in my life? We are living in the perilous times. We're living in the desperate times when men love themselves and many other things way above God. Look with me in verse number 2. For men should be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They should be lovers of their own selves. Self-lovers. Love themselves. I want us to examine ourselves this morning. Now we can point the finger this morning, and we can look outside the walls of this building. We can look outside the walls of our home. We can look outside the walls of our lives individually. But I don't want us to do that this morning. I want us to get the hone in to our own lives. I want us to look at ourselves. I want me, James Bliss, to examine James Bliss this morning. And I want us to see, where am I this morning? You see, one of the issues that he was warning young Timothy about that was going to happen in that day was there was going to be individuals. It was going to be the world, but it was also going to be believers. It was going to be those in the church that start to love themselves more than God. They become self-lovers. We are living in a day where people care more about themselves than anybody else. We're living in a day where those within the church are more concerned about themselves and their own abilities and their own wealth and their own things than anything else. All they care about is their own priorities. They become lovers of self. And lovers of self leads to the next of covetous, lovers of money. You see, when we become lovers of self, We start to love money more than anything. And we know money's not bad, but the love of the money is the root of all evil. And what takes place is what is happening is individuals are switching. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. The Bible tells us we're to seek him first. The Bible says he ought to have the preeminence. The Bible says we ought to love him above anything in our lives. But what is happening in the last days, in the desperate days in which we are living, is men are loving themselves more than they love God. That's been seen in our churches today. Men love themselves more than God. That's why across this world, churches are struggling. It's not just because of COVID, churches are struggling. The issue that is happening is people are becoming lovers of self more than lovers of God. That's why churches are struggling. That's why churches struggle financially, because people are coveting and they love money and they want what they want for themselves, but they're not willing to give to the house of the Lord. They're not willing to be faithful of serving, faithful in giving, and faithful in doing. And I'm not talking just this church. I'm talking across this world. This is what's happening among churches. This is what's happening among believers, is they love everything else above God. They're most important. But not only do we see lovers of self, covetous, this love of money, this place that we get to the place that the only thing that matters is things. You and I understand this, and we've seen this before. There was a day where God's children, the most concern was about making sure the name of their God was glorified and exalted, and they did everything they could to further the cause of the gospel. But let's be honest in our day and age, and let's examine ourselves. Fingers all pointing back here. Let's examine ourselves. What has taken place is we have so concerned and so worried today about us having everything we want to have in our lives. And this is the last days. It used to be we would sacrificially give, not just to the church. We would sacrificially give so others could have. We would sacrificially give to others. We would sacrificially give to the church. We would sacrificially give in other ways to be a blessing, to be a help in any way we can. But we become lovers of money where we take care of ourselves and ourselves only. All we care about in our last days, and this is leading up to the last day, but all this that has taken place, all we care about in our society today, and I'm not talking just this world. The world's this way. Yes, it is. I'm talking believers. I'm talking believers. Believers have gotten to the place that we love money more than we love God. We love our big family vacations more than we love God. Do you know one of the statistics out there, and I know statistics are statistics, you take it and you can look at it, that during the summertime, the giving to a New Testament local church goes down considerably because people go on vacation. And they said, it's not the ones that don't go on vacation, it's the one that goes on vacation that they stop giving. Now, I'm all for vacation. I'm all for taking a trip. But that should not affect our giving to the Lord. Because when we become lovers of money, we become more important. And what has happened in our world today among believers, we love ourselves, we love our money, but look a little further here. This is what is leading to. This is what's all going. Covetous, boasters. This idea, this whole idea of boasters here, the old word for boasters had the idea with swagging or swaggers. Do you know what that has meant? Anyone see someone walk like a peacock? Some of you understand that. That's the old expression. They walk certainly, and they had a little swag. I was going to demonstrate, but I thought you might not like the way that I did. So I won't do that. I'll spare you of that this morning. But this idea of walking in such a way that you think you're above and you're boasting how great you are, you know, as someone as myself that is so good looking, and that it's easy for me to go ahead and boast about that. And those, I think some of you smile a little bit. And you, who said that? I have an illustration. I was going to use someone else, but that's coming. I have something. Oh, my soul. But we get to the place that we boast, and we're boasting. It is sad when we see the world boasting. But you know what's even sadder? When we see those who claim to be God's children lifting up themselves and thinking they have arrived. Now get this. I want us to get this morning. Don't let distractions get us this morning. Let's pay attention to this because we need to see this. We're living in this day. We're living in this day of what is happening and what is going on. I tell you, no one is saved because of you. They're saved because of God. Let's not boast about salvation. Let's not boast about what we have accomplished for, so-called accomplished for God. Let us lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's great. That's wonderful. But we have, as believers, has boasted ourselves. We think we have arrived. We think we're the greatest things that ever walked upon this face of this earth. We're the greatest things since sliced bread. I tell you, we're awesome. No, we're not. But in the last days, you're going to see religious people who are rebellious rise up and think there's something. Think they've done things. We see this in churches today. We see where God has blessed someone with a talent, with an ability, and they think they just are really arrived and they can walk and they're just great in that. I tell you, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I tell you, when you sing, when you do specials and that, it does not matter what happens. Because it's not about the performer, and it's not a performer if you're doing it right, but you know what I mean. It's not about the person up here, because they're not to be performing. They are there to be instruments of the Lord to help prepare the hearts for the preaching of the Word of God. It has no bearing on how it sounds or how it's done or what has happened. That doesn't matter. Because what happens is when we think we got to be just so perfect and sing in such a way and do all this, then it becomes about us instead of about God. And we're not to boast ourselves. I tell you, sometimes I'm glad God hasn't given me certain talents because it keeps me humble a little bit, all right? It keeps me humble. I tell you, if I could sing, I tell you, that's one of the things I can't wait to get to heaven because I can't wait for the day that I can sing. I want to be able to sing. Some of you are really asking for it this morning. But the whole thought is this. When you're up here, and even preaching, teaching, singing, anything. You know what? There's going to be mistakes. It does not matter those mistakes. Because what it does is it takes it off of you thinking you're performing or you're doing something great. And it puts all the emphasis upon God. Not only this, we see that for men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. During these last days, we're going to be proud, haughty, self-elevated, thinking it goes hand in hand with even the last one, but proud of ourselves and our accomplishments. That's what's going to happen. I tell you, there's churches on a whole, and I say church on a whole, meaning a whole group of one church that makes up that local church that thinks they have arrived as a church. No church has arrived. No individual has arrived. We still have much to do, but in the last days, that's going to happen. Blasphemers. This carries this idea of those that blaspheme, those that twist Scripture, those that twist things and change things, but also carries the idea, if you study this out, of those trying to stick their nose in other people's businesses and trying to solve things and happen. And what is happening is many in the last days are going to blaspheme and they're going to twist things, but they're going to stick their nose in and try to deal with things that they are not to even be involved in. And what is happening is this. In our day and age, we are switching the truth to be able to further our own agenda. This is what this is talking about. I'm not saying just this church, and I'm saying on a whole. I'm saying believers on a whole. I'm saying we need to examine and we need to look. But you know what's happening among believers today? They have taken this book and they start to change things so they can push their agenda or push their thoughts and push their truths to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And when you switch scripture, you're blaspheming against scripture. When you switch scripture, you're blaspheming against scripture. When you're sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. Now, it doesn't mean we don't stand for right. What it means is we're taking things and we're saying, okay, I don't agree with this, so I'm going to change words of scripture. I'm going to change the meaning of scripture, and I'm going to be able to say, this is what scripture says. Let me give a case in point. We all know this verse. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, some people quote the verse, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So the vengeance is all on me. I can avenge anyone I want. The Lord says, Lori. So, you know, people like Rex. The Bible says this, Lori, that I have the vengeance. And I have it, and I have all the power, Rex, to call you out in front of everyone. I'm online in here to call you out for what you've done. Because the Lord has given me that power. Now, that's not what the verse is saying, is it? The verse is not saying that. And what I'm saying is, this is what has happened today. People have taken scripture and says, this is what scripture says. No, that's not what scripture says. And we're blaspheming the word of God when we're taking it and changing it to meet us. We're living in the last days where people will even take scripture to justify their sin. That's blasphemy. There's people today that will take it to justify the sin. I'm not talking the world. Yes, the world does this, but I'm not talking the world. I'm talking believers. I'm talking about those in Christ. They have taken it and they're justifying what they're doing and trying to use scripture to justify it. That's blasphemy. Well, let's go a little further here. Some of you young people don't like this next one. Disobedient to parents. This is last days. Now, kids always been disobedient. I understand that. Because they have a sin nature. But so have you and I have always been disobedient because you have a sin nature and you were a kid at one time. Yes, Brother Lee, you were a kid one time. I don't know if you can remember how long ago that was. But you were a kid one day. I tell you, I couldn't picture you as a kid. That's kind of scary. But disobedient to parents. This carries the idea of not just disobeying on a once in a while basis, as most do. This is carrying the idea of a rebellious nature. Now, young people, listen. I want you to get this. In the last days, leading up to the last day, leading up to the last times, there's going to be those who are rebellious against authority. Is that not a picture of what is happening in our world today? Not just in this world, in the lives of so-called believers today. They're rebellious believers. Not just this word, believers, get this. Rebellious against authority. Now, I understand. If authority goes against the word of God, it's better to obey God rather than man. But this is not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about your parents, your authority, and kids have become disobedient to their parents. You see what is happening in our world. And I tell you, We see it in the world, but I believe it's even some who claim to be believers and some of the things individuals are doing and destroying and making havoc against things. Do you see what is happening in so-called Christian homes and with the children and how the children have a lack of respect for their parents? Rebellion has set in our homes today, in believers' homes. Rebellion is there. Our children are rebellious today. Why? Because we're living in the latter of the last days, and Paul was telling Timothy, I want to warn you against what's happening and what's going to take place. And what is taking place is all these things that are happening in, among those in this world, but among those in the church. And this is going to get worse as the days go on. And what has gotten worse as the days go on is rebellion among our young people. I tell you, you would never imagine a young person, Mary, could you imagine this when you were a child back a few years ago, about 10, that you would tell your parents no? Could you imagine, Brother Dick, when you were that rotten teenager in North Hollywood and you would tell your father you're going to do what you wanted to do as an 8-year-old little boy? How do you think that would have went over? Could you imagine back? We can't go that far back, Brother Rex. Could you imagine going back to those days? And some of you remember those days. You would never imagine to talk to your parents the way kids talk to their parents today. You would never imagine. Now get this. Young people, get this. You would never imagine not doing what you're told to do. Yes, there was rebellion in those days, I'm not saying. But the rebellion's gotten greater. And what has happened is, it's moved from just the world into our Christian homes today. And it's being accepted in our believers' homes. It's being accepted. See, there's one thing when a kid does wrong, they get dealt with. And the kid might be rebellious, but the kid keeps getting dealt with and dealt with and dealt with. And eventually, the kid is going to come around, Lord willing. But the difference is this. Rebellion is in our homes. And it's growing worse and worse. Yet our parents aren't doing anything about the rebellion in the home. And the kid keeps on being rebellious and never has any consequences to the rebellion. This is what it's saying is going to happen in the latter days. Kids are going to be disobedient parents and get away with it. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. I tell you, this is what has happened in our day, is there is a disobedience to authority to the parents in our world, and they're not being dealt with. Not only do we see this, but it leads to unthankfulness, unthankful. In the last days, we're going to have those that are unthankful. Well, Pastor, we just had Thanksgiving. All of us are so thankful. We've heard some messages, and we got told again how we need to be thankful. We sang that song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And we started to name all our blessings. Oh, wonderful! You know what the day we're living in? It's a day of unthankfulness. The last days. Again, not the world, but let's look inside. We are living with a bunch of spoiled, good-for-nothing believers that have become unthankful for all we have in Christ. That's the last days. What is happening is individuals who claim to be a child of His are unthankful for what they have. We got believers that gripe and complain and murmur all the time about how terrible they have it. Oh, how terrible my life is. I don't have this and I don't have that. And I tell you, this isn't fair to me. This has happened. I can't believe God would take a loved one from me. I can't believe God would allow this to happen and I would lose my job. I can't believe this would take place, that would take place. And we become unthankful for all that God has given us. And we gripe and we complain about it. We're living in the latter of the last days. Let us get this, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, that we are living in this time where believers have become unthankful for all God's given us. And we're living in the spirit of unthankfulness. But not only that, we got to move forward. This is still the first point. We are living in a day of unholiness. It says unholy. He warned them what's going to happen in the last days. There's going to be those that were disobedient, those that were unthankful, but those unholy or profane against God in the manner of their life and the way they live. Do you know holiness has not changed? Bible still says, be holy, for I'm holy. But you know what has changed? You know what has happened? In the latter days, the last days, the perilous times, the time of grievance, the time that we're living in, the time that's taking place, you know what has happened? We have changed what holiness means. Believers have. Oh, preacher, we have not. Yes, we have, by the way we live. Because holiness hasn't changed. But let me tell you, the way we live is sure different than the way Scripture talks about. So what has changed? We've changed. Holiness hasn't changed. We're living in a day where not just this world, but believers have become unholy. What does unholy mean? It means that we're filled with dirt. We're not pure. We're filled with dirt. Now, most of you, when you meet somebody, you're going to clean up, right? The other day I met Brother Rex. And we were going to go look at the house that we're building. And we looked at some, there were some issues in that there. Then we decided to go grab a breakfast. And I tell you, I was looking forward to a huge breakfast. Brother Rex laughed at me what I ordered. And I didn't even eat half of what I ordered. I had one egg scrambled and one piece of bacon, and probably didn't even eat half of each of those, probably not even close to that. But we went. But I tell you, Brother Rex was going to jump in my car. But there was such a stench because he didn't make himself clean. You think you would meet with me, you would at least clean up a little bit. So I had to send him in his own car. And then we got to the restaurant. And when we got to the restaurant, I made him sit in a different booth. No, just kidding. This is not true, just an illustration. But the idea is this. We've come to a place that we are so unpure, unclean among believers. It's been a long time since believers got washed. We call good evil and evil good. That's believers, not just this world. But I want you to see another thought here. Verse 3. Without natural affection. It's talking about family love. This is talking about that true love within a family. It's talking about without natural godly affection or godly love. Now we hit this a little bit last week. But I want us to look at this from a different angle this morning. Is among believers, not just the world, not just what the world does is unnatural affection that we hit last week. But let's look at us as believers in the family unit. Godly love that ought to be in the family unit. We ought to have true love without natural affection. But what is happening is there's husbands and wife married together that basically hate each other. There's kids that are happening. And again, this is in believers. This is believers. what is happening in the family unit and the family love. Yes, I understand unnatural affection. It means homosexuality. It means individuals marrying people they shouldn't marry and all that that we talked about last week. But in a believer's life, what is taking place and what is happening is this, is individuals, this true godly love is absent in the home. We talked about a little bit of this morning. Those are here during this the family hour and about in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and about not having hatred and that and anger, and we're just developing that and how to deal with individuals. But what is happening is in the last days, those that should have a godly love for one another don't have that love. As a believer, you are to love your wife, wives, you're to love your husband, children, you're to love your parents, you're to love brothers and sisters in Christ, you're to love your enemy, you're to love one another. And that's been distorted. This is what's happening in the last days. It leads up to this point here, this thought. Then we see there's false accusers. In the last days, we hit this a little bit last week in regards to the world, but let us hit this as believers as well. There's false accusers. There's a day where people will be accused, but that's happening within the church, not just in this world. It's one thing for the world to falsely accuse you. It's another thing when in the church, individuals falsely accuse someone else. We see fierce. We see that's a savage. That's the idea of being a savage. That idea of fierce there. It's carrying the idea of being a savage. I want to quickly go through some of these because I want to get to a couple other points. Despisers are those that are good. Traitors. Heedy, that's reckless. There's high-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Wow. Does it not hit believers today? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and it's going to keep getting worse. But look at the next verse. This is where I want to get to. We can spend the whole time in just those. And I'm going to try to wrap everything up in the next 10 minutes, so just hold on. Look at verse 5, though. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not what do I love, but how do I live? How do I live my life? What do I love, but how do I live? Now, this is talking about those going through rituals of religion, but lack life and reality. It's talking about having a form of godliness without any real power. It's talking about this idea of we need to be result yielded to the Spirit so we can have the power thereof. But this is taking idea, and we can look at this, is taking this idea of those who claim a religion but do not really have salvation. But I believe it can go a step further. It's talking about those that possibly are saved and do not have the power of God upon their lives because of the sins, because of all the things that have been mentioned leading up to this verse, what's taking place. And this is what's happening among believers. This is the application, what is happening among believers, because they're having all these things and they become accustomed to this and they have allowed this, and this is the day that we're living in, and this is what's evident in individuals' lives that claim to be believers. We have a form of godliness, but there's no power. What has happened in the last days? There are those that say, I'm a believer, but the life doesn't show it. Now, only you and God truly know if you're saved or not. I do not know. I cannot look into your heart. I cannot look into your life, and I cannot properly judge that. But you know, and God knows. And we're living in last days where I believe there are many individuals who claim to be a believer. And again, I don't want anyone ever to doubt their salvation. But I believe we're living in a day where many people have made a profession but don't truly possess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I believe we're living in a day. Now, I don't believe you have to do anything magical to get saved. I believe the Bible says all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says, believe in thy heart. We got to believe in our heart. We got to understand and we got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is their Savior. But there are many who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And let me tell you, if I'm truly saved, I have the power of God living in me and I become a new creature in Him. Old things are passed away, but all things become new and my life is totally changed and different. But true believer, now we're going to switch up a little bit. True believer, oh, you're saved. There's ever been a time in life you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what has happened is we have grieved the Holy Spirit because of the sins that we have allowed in our lives. And yes, I say sins because all those things mentioned are sins. We have allowed those in. I don't care if it's the last days or not. Believers should not have any part of it. Oh, preacher, we're living in the last days, so it's okay to do this. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying be aware of what's going to happen. It doesn't give you any excuse to live this way. It's saying this is what's taking place, but we as believers ought not to be a part of it. Because look at the next part. I want you to see this. From such, turn away. A faithful believer should have nothing to do with the people that are described in this portion of Scripture. A true believer should not have anything to do with the people or be like the people that are described in this portion of Scripture. From such, turn away. It means we have to understand that you are to have no part of this. I are to have no part of this. This is not what ought to be in your life. This is not what you ought to put yourself around. This is not what you're to feed your mind, your soul, your body with. This is nothing that to be a part. From such, turn away. In the last days, we have a lot of religion, but I tell you, we're lacking things. We're lacking the true power of God. And we need to turn away from that. We need to stop playing church and start getting real and having the power of God once again. We need to stop playing believers. We need to stop putting on the Christian title and walking around with no power. Because what has happened is we have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, we need to turn away from that. Because as religious as we want to act and be, that's not going to change anything. It's only the power of God that's going to change lives. And from such, turn away. I tell you, I want to make sure we do things right in the church. Don't get me wrong what I'm about to say. But I think we've got to a place that we are so worried about what people are going to think if everything is not just perfect in a church. That we start to take away from the power. Because I don't want to offend anybody. You see, I got to be careful what I say. Because if someone comes in and doesn't like what I say and doesn't like certain things and this is that, so we start to change. That's a form of godliness, but denying the power. That's going into what we talked about, all those things leading up. I tell you, even as a church, individuals we can't, but even as a church, we can't change things. And we need to turn away from such. Many churches are so polished, and you know what I'm saying, so polished. We have to look. Now, I'm all for looking nice again. I'm all for taking care of things. I'm not saying this. But we get so polished. Let me give an illustration. Anyone ever been in a house, someone's house, you were afraid to walk in the house? I tell you, the floors shine like glass. And there's not even one little smudge on the floors. And there is not even any dust behind their piano, underneath the bottom. I don't know how they're strong individuals or what, but they were able to lift the pan open, dust underneath there. And you were afraid, and I mean, everything looked just so polished and so nice. But then you went through the house, and everything looked great. But there was one room. And that door was shut. And there was a latch that went with the door, with a lock, a padlock on that door. And you ask that person, can I see in that room? No, no, you can't go in that room. Why? What's wrong with that room? So one day, when they weren't around, like all of you would do, you got your bolt cutters. And you came to that padlock when they weren't around, cut the padlock off, opened the door, and you saw what you never thought you would see. There was dirt. There was piles of clothes, like some of the girls' bedrooms in this room. And there's piles of clothes. There was all this. It was boxes stacked, papers falling out of the boxes, all this. But all through the house, everything looked polished and looked good, except one room in the house. Do you know what is true today among believers? In the last days, we look so polished, except there's one room in your house, your life, your tabernacle, God's tabernacle, that's not what it ought to be. And that's the polish we're talking about. We need to turn away. But look at verse 7. There's so much more there. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. How do I learn? Right? What do I love? How do I live? And now, how do I learn? Look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You know what's happened last days? Those that want knowledge, 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 but knowledge does not impact them. I'm not talking the outside world. I'm talking believers. You know what's happened in churches? And I'm all for teaching. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. We need to be digging in the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know it. We need to understand facts. We need to understand history. We need to understand information. I'm not saying we don't. Please do not take me wrong this morning. But we have done a disservice in the latter days of all we're doing is teaching dates and history and facts, and it's not changing lives. I tell you, I'm all for looking at things and using exegesis and digging in. And I'm all for looking at Greek and the vocabs and all this and all that. I'm all for that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's not good. And there's times for it. But I'm saying this. We have gotten to a place among believers today that you can play a Bible trivia question and you can answer some of the weirdest questions that ever came upon the face of this earth. You can watch Jeopardy and you can answer the questions on Jeopardy that have to do with the Bible and every one of those, but then our lives are a mess and they're falling apart and we're not living anything that God wants us to live. That is what's happening. I'm all for knowledge. I'm all for learning. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved. We need to dig in. We need to know the Word of God. But we have gotten the knowledge and we've gotten understanding. We've gotten teaching. But there's a step. Look at this. Look at this. Get this. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That we have all this learning. We have all this information. But it's never impacted our lives. That's what it's saying. Do you know what the Word of God's supposed to do to you when you hear it? It's not supposed to tickle your ears. It's not supposed to puff you up. And man, I got knowledge. Brother Dick has been in this church for over 45 years. Brother Dick has probably heard almost as much preaching of some of our younger people combined. He's been around a long time. He's heard a lot. He's studied a lot. He has a lot of knowledge. And as much knowledge as he has, if he hasn't taken it and applied it to his life, it doesn't mean anything. Some of you understand this. Let's go to the school realm for a minute. You sit in your classroom, if those that are back in school, or you watch online, which is so much fun, and you're listening to your teacher. And have any of you ever zoned out in class before? And you know how to put that smile on, right, Reagan? And you know how to keep your eyeballs open, and you put your hands on your desk, and you look like you're paying attention, right? And you know how to do it. And you even know sometimes how to nod right. And maybe that's because you're falling asleep and your head just goes down. Or you just do that in church. But anyways, but we're not getting anything. We don't get it. We leave the classroom when we don't have a clue what has been said. You know what's happening? Is there's a lot of learning, but there's no application. Believers come to church, do their job, sit in their seat, supposedly learn, but they leave the same. That is what has happened in the last days, and that's what's happening today among believers. I tell you, we have believers today who have no passion for the things of God anymore. Well, they have knowledge, but they're not applying it. We have believers that have a knowledge. They have learning. But they are living lives apart, far away from what God wants them to live. They have learning, but they're not doing anything with the learning. They have homes falling apart. They have lives falling apart. There's churches falling apart. Oh, there's a bunch of educated individuals, but they have not taken what God has given them and let it transform and change their lives. That's the day we're living in. When the believer looks the same as the unsaved, there's a problem. And that's what's happened. When your home looks the same as the unsaved world home, there's a problem, believer. Why? Because we have a knowledge, we have a learning, but we haven't come to the place that it transformed us. We have come to that place, learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The knowledge of truth is that which transforms. The knowledge of truth is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the truth is what we need to get a hold of in our lives so we can live the way God wants us to live. Oh, this world hasn't come to the knowledge of truth. This world is far from God. But I believe many believers today are far from God. We're living in perilous times. We're living in this grievous, desperate times. We're living where sin is running rampant among believers. We're living in a day where believers are supposed to love God, but they're loving themselves. They're supposed to live for God, but they're living for themselves. They're supposed to follow after God. They're supposed to live for Him, but they're not. And from such, turn away. Look at your own life for a minute. And this is a question I ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself. Do you or do I have to turn away from our own selves? That's a hard question. See, it's easy for me to look at Brother Rex and says, I need to turn away from him. But it's a lot harder to look at myself and say, do I need to turn away from myself? If I need to turn away from myself, I need to find myself on my knees if I'm truly a believer and confess it and deal with it. If I need to turn away from myself and I examine my life and I don't see that I'm truly in Christ, I need to ask Him, receive Him as my Lord and Savior today. Oh, they had learning, but they never took it. That is so true in our churches. Let me just say this. I have another thing I want to share real quick. We have so many that have grown up in church that have heard over and over and over again, but have never gotten it. Heard over and over and over again, but have never gotten it. Not just our young people, adults. Churches are filled across this world of individuals who have been taught but have not received. Just because you go to church does not mean we're right with God. Just because we're religious does not mean we're not rebellious against God. From such, turn away. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I know there's so much more. But Lord, I pray that you just take what we heard and what we did look at. We ask that you just speak to our hearts. I pray. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No